broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere. Yep, we even go there. What is it we do?
We go places there.
Yes, other talk shows do not dare tread, where angels go in, you know.
What?
Wise men fear? I don't know. Where angels tread, we also tread. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to our program. 1-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm trying to remember if anybody had to play the drinking game on our local show on Saturday night, because there is a different number for the local Los Angeles show, and I always give our national number, and I was curious because they've got some drinking game where people are taking knocks of their favorite liqueur or their favorite bathtub gin or their favorite moonshine every time I give the wrong number out. I don't know. And it may be moot. Maybe they don't play that game no more, man. Anyway, welcome to our program. We're playing the game. We're playing the game called Life and Radio, and you're welcome to join us here. In our first hour, we're going to talk about something that has exploded over the weekend. It has exploded, not maybe to the extent that Occupy Wall Street has. It has exploded, perhaps not to the extent that Muammar Gaddafi's assassination has. It has exploded, perhaps not to the extent that other big news stories have, but it is nonetheless a biggie, baby. And we're going to talk about the new Barbie doll that is an internet sensation. The internet is abuzz about this doll. It has tattoos. The new tattooed Barbie, sold by the Barbie doll people, is a collector's item. And we're going to talk with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, one of many parents who is opposed to this doll being marketed in any way, shape, or form toward children. And it is my understanding that it is not, that it is supposedly some kind of a collector's piece. Our number again, 1-800-52, now I'm starting to give the local number out.
Yeah, that's the wrong one.
I know, that's the first time I've done that. 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on KNEW in San Francisco and in Chinook, Montana, KRYK, yes, in Chinook, Montana. And
yeah, when you mess that up, though, I think that you don't care about them, but you know the big city call letters.
Is that right? Maybe it's because they're a brand new affiliate. Maybe it's because I haven't said their call letters lately. Maybe it's because I haven't, KNEW I know because they've been around for a while. I don't know this new station, so I'll get used to them. And we thank them for being on our network. It is KRYK, Chinook, Montana. All right, 877-876-PHIL. The internet is abuzz about the news that a recently released Barbie designed by the L.A.-based Tokidoki brand name, brand comes complete with a pale pink bob, stacked bracelets, an annoyed-looking pet named Bastardino, and, oh yeah, a ton of tattoos on her neck and shoulders. Media outlets such as U.S. News and World Report and The Telegraph have suggested, with the meager evidence, that parents are outraged that Barbie has been tattooed. And on television, concerns about the doll's new ink and its impact on children have been raised on the Today Show. But here in Los Angeles, the folks at Tokidoki are shaking their heads in wonderment at the media frenzy and fielding phone calls in amusement. It's a lot of fuss over a $50 doll that's been marked for adults, adult collectors only. The doll was meant for adult collectors. 7,400 of them were made. It's only available online. It's not like your kid is going to pick this up at Target. So the Tokidoki Barbie, man, is this an official? I guess it's got to be an official Barbie doll. You can't make a Barbie doll without them giving you the license on that. Let's bring on Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, we've had you on the show before about, you know, talking about matters concerning families, and you heard what I just said there, the comments from the company that people are making a big deal out of nothing, that this tattooed Barbie doll is for adults only.
Yes, sir, I understand that that's what they're making their claim, but you know as well as I do that these dolls were originally intended for children and continue to be a doll that is marketed to the under 18-year-old female, to the extent that it's only women who are purchasing this doll. That is adult women My concerns certainly do remain the same.
And what are your concerns?
Well, I think that it is a another piece of merchandise that sends a decidedly wrong message to our young people and to our wives and to our the women in our lives. And Phil, since I was on with you on Saturday night, I've gotten a little bit more conversant with the topic, and I've been doing some research. And the doll is there are a number of these dolls. The Toki Doki doll, Barbie, became available on the 6th of October. There's also a Barbie clad in a leather suit. There's a Countess Dracula Barbie. There's a Barbie doll where she's wearing a dress that descends below the belly button, and it was designed by Bob Mackie. Now, people are trying to tell me this is for an adult, but if my wife and my daughter have this doll in their possession, what we're talking about here is it's not a temptation, but it is it's a come on. It's a come on for people to behave, I think, in a less than in proper manner.
And yeah, but that sounds very thin.
Well, no, it isn't, sir.
Well, yeah, but soon it does. I mean, being less than a proper manner, how can you tell your wife, you know?
Well, I'm speaking primarily of my daughter, though.
Yeah, but these guys have said that the tattooed Barbie doll is not for children.
The tattooed Barbie doll, they say, is not for children. And yet, let me ask you a question. Who has tattoos? Who has a pink haircut? Who has a short, leather skirt that you, for all intents and purposes, you could look right, up it. And if you were sitting in the front row of a concert, we can talk about Britney Spears. We can talk about Pink. We can talk about Christina Aguilera. We can talk about any of these girls that are Katy Perry and so on. And so those are women that appeal to the under 18-year-old females. So I think it's very, very specious and spurious to say that this doll is only intended for adult women.
So you think that there is some, let me ask you, what are they going to get out of marketing it to, why not just say it's marketable to kids? And if not that, are you saying, well, they're hoping that this doll's sales will be spurred by the youth market?
I believe so. I don't think there are enough women to purchase this doll to make it worth their while. I think they need to have young women, our daughters, and that's who I'm talking about, really, Phil. My wife is going to do what she's going to do. My wife is, as a matter of fact, we are doing some shopping right now. My wife is going to do what she's going to do. I can't tell her what to do. I wish that I could, because I think in a lot of ways she behaves in ways that I don't like. Maybe I do. It doesn't make any difference, obviously to her, but I would like to tell her what to do, but I can't do that. But I can still tell my daughter what to do, and I can still say to my daughter, I'd rather you not have that doll, and I'd rather it not be sold, and I don't want my daughter having tattoos.
You know that your wife may go out and get a tattoo, and there's not much you can do about that, and tattoos are a part of society in large measure these days.
Well, that may be true, but you look at people who have tattoos, and this is also part two of what we're talking about, Bill, to encourage this kind of look, to encourage this kind of body art, as they call it, or inking yourself up, or putting on some ugly, or however you want to call it. Now you are essentially relegating your daughter or your wife to a level of society where they're not going to get a job other than the kinds of jobs that those people get. Now, the only job, a good job, that a tattoo is going to get is a tattoo artist.
You don't think they're going to get, you telling me that a guy who's got tattoos on his arms can't put on a dress shirt and go into business?
Well, a lot of these people have neck tattoos and face tattoos, I don't think, Mr. Henry, that you're going to find a job waiting for a young lady who's decided she wants to get a face tattoo, even if it's a teardrop, or she wanted to get a image of some sort of Star Wars or some kind of nonsense. She's not going to be in the workplace for very, very long. And I can tell you, I was in a restaurant the other day, and I had a waitress who has had the both arms sleeved with tattoos. And I found it very difficult to eat my food. I found it difficult to keep it down.
And you were sickened by the tattoos. That's pretty interesting.
Well,
I mean, that, you know, to look at tattoos to be sick, and I can understand where you might get the idea that you're in a different kind. Maybe the place isn't as high class as you'd like it to be.
No, this made me sick, too, because anybody that's going to have those on their arms, they may be willing to work in a kitchen that's not the cleanest.
All of this sounds very prejudicial, though, you know, and...
Well, I don't mean it to, Mr. Henry.
I mean, for whatever you may think of tattoos, it doesn't necessarily follow that people with tattoos are bad people.
But it does follow that it's something I don't want my daughter to wear, and it does follow that I don't want people marketing and pushing at an underage girl a lifestyle that says, look at what you can put on your face, your arm, your back, look at the miniskirt she's wearing, look at how she's probably got that miniskirt, you know, too short, and, you know, and all guys, these kids these days, these young men these days, trying to get what they call upskirt videos and this kind of thing. And, of course, the other option to this is the young guys that have to sell these Barbie dolls, these Barbie dolls in their cases, and the distraction to them.
All right, we're talking here with Stephen Bozell. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, about the tattooed Barbie doll and whether or not this is something for our daughters. Now, this doll is being marketed to adult women, but even you, Mr. Bozell, say that that's not necessarily the safest bet.
Well, I'm not saying it's not a safe bet. I'm just saying I just think it's one more step toward degenerative treatment of our women. And I think when you look at when you say it's being marketed to women, I don't know what you mean. I guess you're saying adult women.
Women that collect Barbie dolls.
Well, I've never heard of that. I've heard of it, but I've never...
There are a lot of women that collect Barbie dolls. They have these Barbie doll conventions.
Well, that way, that could very well be, but to buy this tattooed Barbie doll goes beyond what the Barbie doll represents. Now you're buying something that is a degenerated version of the Barbie doll, and I think all it does is cheapen the women that buy it. And of course, then it forces the men into a position of having to deal with this, and I don't want to have to do that. I don't want my wife looking at me like I'm a controlling man or anything like that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here, talking about the tattooed Barbie doll with Stephen Bozell. And the fact that this tattooed Barbie doll is not only marketed to women, but it's marketed to, it is marketed to women as a collector's item, but that young ladies may get their hands on it and get, quote, the wrong idea, whatever that means. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. From Corona, California. We're talking about the Barbie dolls that have been these Barbie doll tattoos that apparently now are upsetting a few parents across the country. And you mentioned, Steve, the Barbie dolls that have the tattoos not being appropriate for girls. You mentioned also the guys that are selling them. And
not the guy. I'm talking about the young men who are in the stores.
Right. I mean, that's. I don't understand what you mean by the young men that are in the stores.
I'm talking about young men that are in the stores. The young men that have been in the Toys R Us. And places like that.
What about them?
Well, they have these dolls behind them. They have these dolls that are on cases that are in the area there where these, generally they're young men. Yes, sometimes they have young women there too. And I had, approached a couple of them this past weekend, as a matter of fact, in this very mall, and asked them about it because I think that puts extra pressure on them.
All right, so let's talk about, what do you mean pressure? You're talking about...
What what I'm talking about, Phil, is not only do you have these tattooed Barbie dolls that are being sold, these tattooed Barbie dolls that are being sold, you know, to our wives and daughters, we also have the Barbie doll itself, which is in the close proximity of the young men. And to that extent, it very much probably, most likely is a distraction. And
in what way?
In the way that you've got a doll behind you that has got this, tattoos and a short, you know, it's got a dress and everything that's short, and you got a, she's got the tattoos and it looks like I guess the word you want to use is a slut.
Okay.
And so these young men. And I asked them, I said, I bet, is that distracting to you? And they said, and I could tell by the way they looked at me, they knew exactly what I was talking about, but they're in the store there.
And well, what are you talking about?
I'm saying that this, if you're looking at this strictly as a female figure, the way the Barbie doll is already built with big, you know, with the big, I want to call them breasts, all right, and she's got on a skirt that's short and everything like this. So
you're saying that the doll is distracting from the standpoint of it being sexually attractive.
That is, yes, sir. And
what did these kids say when you said this to them?
Well, they acknowledged that what I was saying was true.
How did they acknowledge that?
Well, I mean, they gave me a look, you know, like they kind of in surprise, I think, that someone would know this.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Bozell, because this I think is a pretty good question. I mean, is the Barbie doll, the tattooed Barbie doll, is it attractive to you?
No, it's not attractive to me, sir. No.
Well, all right. Why did you assume that this was something that would attract those young men?
Because they are young men. But I'm not saying. I'm saying that I know. I'm old enough to know what. I'm old enough to know what the score is, obviously, in life, so I'm not going to be easily, I'm not going to get attracted to a Barbie doll. If I were younger, there's no question that, I would probably think differently. And,
if you're thinking differently and you gave yourself full rein to feel the way you wanted to feel about a Barbie doll.
No, you're misunderstanding. You're making it sound like I'm in love with a Barbie. I'm not in love with a Barbie doll. I'm just a young man could be distracted by the Barbie doll having a short skirt and a big breast that they give it. I can tell you, if I was that age and I had a drill handy or something, I'd probably start, drilling a hole
drilling a hole where?
Drilling. I mean, I'm talking about the Barbie doll.
Drilling a hole in the Barbie doll?
To make it more of a realistic person. But I'm saying that's probably what they would do, or what I would do were I younger. I wouldn't do it now. But the whole point that I'm making.
But you're telling me that the Barbie doll is so sexually attractive and alluring that it can distract these guys from their job. And
yeah, I think what I'm saying, I'm not saying it's sexually attractive and alluring. You're not going to leave your wife for a Barbie doll, not at my age.
But a younger guy might leave his wife?
I don't know. I don't think so. And I think you're misunderstanding what I'm trying to say here, sir.
No, I don't think I'm misunderstanding you at all. I think I heard you say that the Barbie doll sitting there on a counter behind these young men is just all of this stuff.
I just heard you say the S word.
All right, I misspoke, sir. I apologize. All this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that the Barbie doll gives the wrong message to our daughters and the wrong message to our wives, because it sends the message that to be a free and full and freed and freed up and everything woman, you got to have a tattoo on your face and all across your belly and everything. And a short and a skirt, the guy could probably see everything. And then they make it so it looks so good that a younger man might be attracted to it. And
what is the worst possible outcome to a young man being attracted to this tattooed Barbie doll?
Well, sir, I can tell now that you're probably trying to make fun of me. And
no, I'm not. I'm asking you a question because there might be something I'm missing here, you know.
The worst thing that could happen if a young man's attracted to a Barbie doll is he starts taking it out of the box and he starts drilling a hole in it. And he would destroying property.
What is that? So the worst thing, the guy's going to drill a hole in it?
Yes, sir. To make it more realistic. Realistic. You understand what I'm saying?
And then after he makes it more realistic...
I'm sorry, I don't want to answer any more questions. I just don't want to answer more questions.
All right, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Show here, bringing on Bobby and Steve Dooley, married couple from Western Estates, California, who've written a book called The 19-Year-Old Sore, and it's a play on or an extension of, I guess, the commonly referred to phrase of the 7-year itch, which is about marriage and these bumps or these challenges that occur in the life of a marriage. One of them being at 7 years. And Bobby and Steve, welcome to the program. And you say one is at 19 years, huh?
Thank you very much. Yes, Phil, at 19 years, and that's why we named the book that.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, thank you.
You're welcome. You guys are coming up on your 20th year?
We are. Steve and I were married 20 years ago this coming August, and we have 3 sons that we love very much and 3 boys that we're very proud of. But we did face challenges in our marriage, and they were challenges that put a strain on our marriage that they would put a strain on anyone. Can we do one thing, Philip? Steve is bothering me. He wants to do something for you.
Steve? It does?
Yeah, I heard what you said about the brown note. I just went.
Steve heard what you were talking about, brown note?
Well, that was the story. Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, I figured something out. I want you to hear it.
Okay.
This is Barry White when he gets hit with a brown note.
I think that's funny. I think that's cute, don't you?
Yes, that's very cute. Okay.
Don't you know that? Because we've always wondered about that song. You know.
Yeah, we realize it's probably not sexy or anything.
Steve thinks Barry White is going in. He's going in his drawers.
Yeah, going in the drawers of the brown note.
Right. I get it. I get it. It's very cute. Very cute.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to the. The 19 years sore. Why not the 19-year itch, just like the 7-year itch?
Well, Phil, the longer that you're married, the more challenging. That's as simple as I can make it. The more challenging things become, as it did in our marriage. And in the book, we point up the incident that occurred. This happened just after our 19th wedding anniversary, as the boys were starting school. And I was assisting in one of the classes. My son Dylan is a senior, and I was like a teacher's assistant, a parent assistant to a gentleman by the name of Bill Baxter. He was the homeroom teacher for my son Dylan. He was also the biology teacher. In working in the classroom, I found myself becoming very attracted to this man. I found him exciting. I found him intelligent. I found him very humorous. He was a well-spoken man. He was a very attractive man. And I realized that I wasn't falling in love with the man, but I was becoming infatuated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a tough time for me, Miss Henry.
Well, I could imagine that, sir.
And I found myself questioning my values and questioning my morals and questioning what I held dear and the things that I really thought were important. And fortunately, I did not act on any attraction that I had for this man. I did not break my marital vows, but I was so tempted. And I didn't know why either, because my values, I've always felt, were very high.
You always had big my wife always had big values.
Let me do it, Steve.
Yeah, one person at a time, okay?
He said one person at a time.
Okay.
and I found myself compromising my values.
But you didn't. You didn't compromise your values. You stayed true to your marriage, and I don't think that that's... I think you're to be commended.
But no, I did. I did compromise my values. I did let myself down brutally. I did, Phil, in point of fact, run into what we call the 19-year sore. I did find myself...
No, but you said, didn't you? You said you did not have a sexual relationship with this man.
No, I did not.
So you had no intimate relationship with this man at all?
No, I did not. But I had compromised my values, and I had lowered myself to a level I never thought I could. And so in the 19-year sore, we discuss the lowering of your values to the point where you're nothing. You don't feel like you're anything. You feel...
No, but can I interrupt? And maybe I shouldn't be talking, because you're talking about your book.
Let me just finish this point, and then you can ask me any question you want.
Okay, go ahead.
It's difficult to pick yourself up out of the pit of depression that you find yourself in when you realize that you have compromised everything that you hold dear. Everything that you feel is a value that is holy. And I took it all, and I threw it in the dirt. I just threw it in the mud. And it was almost as if I took it and threw it into an open cesspool. And for that, I will forever be questioning myself.
Yeah, that's bad.
Let me do it, Steve.
But I'm saying it was bad on me, too.
It was worse on me.
All right, Bobby, let me ask you a question here, because I'm confused. Either you're holding yourself to a higher standard. I think that there is nothing, I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong, because I don't think the words right and wrong come into it. I think it's human. I think it's natural. I think it's what makes us who we are, that you're going to be find yourself in a situation like that and that you overcame it.
But I didn't, Phil. I did not overcome it.
No, wait a minute. Wait. You said you didn't have an intimate relationship with this man.
No, I did not.
You had no sexual relationship.
No. I don't understand. What are you asking?
I'm asking you, then, how did you compromise your values?
You did get a copy of the book, correct?
We did get a copy of the book. Bud, where's the book?
It's over in the mail over there.
Well, never mind.
In the book, we do have photographs that show myself and show Bill Baxter and Steve at a parent-teacher meeting.
Okay.
So you didn't see the picture of Bill Baxter? I'm sorry. I assume that you people read the books before you interview the authors.
No, not always. No, we don't have the time. What we try to do is...
Oh, but I was mistaken.
No, what we try to do is have the author articulate the essence of the book, but there's something I'm missing here.
Well, I got to get the book.
Let me do it, please.
Mark Bunzel did
it. Let me do it, Steve. I didn't know. You didn't see. Bill Baxter has what looks like a withered arm. You didn't see that?
Yes, his arm's good.
He has a withered arm.
Oh, yes, his right arm, either from childbirth or some horrible, horrible accident. The arm is, it's almost normal length, but it's like a claw. I can't describe it.
Yeah, it's all gimp and everything.
Steve says that Steve calls it gimped up. I call it withered withered or twig-like.
So the man has some birth defect, you're saying?
I don't know. It could have been a birth defect. It could have been... Steve thought, you know, what was the joke you made, Steve?
I think he got in a pool room somewhere.
Steve thought he got in a pool room somewhere. So when you compromise your values like that and fall in love with a man...
Yeah, the guy had twigged that arm.
Steve, would you let me do it, please?
Oh, wait. So this is what you mean by compromising your values?
Well, what did you think I was talking about, Phil? I told you I did. I would never cheat on my husband. I already did that.
You know, she already did that, yeah.
You already sexually cheated on your husband.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. No, I went through that period, and I'm much stronger now. No, there was a period there where I was giving oral to any man that I meet, any man that I would meet at Kukuru. You didn't know that.
Is that in your book, too?
Yeah, it's in the first chapter.
Yeah, I get that out of the way. I say I'm not talking about normal sexual infidelity. I gave oral to every man I met at Kukuru. And the...
All right, I'm confused. That's not what you're talking about. What you're talking about is you fell in love with a guy with a withered arm.
Yes. If you look at the photograph, you can see that he's got a sweater on.
Yeah, but one arm goes into the sweater and the other arm doesn't make it out.
Yeah, the one arm comes out one side of the sweater, but the other arm, it's just dangling there. And then in the next photograph, you can see him pointing, and he's using the arm that didn't grow properly. And, well, that's why he has the eraser under his chin.
Yeah, I did that on that.
Has the eraser under, why?
Well, if you've got one arm that's withered or has been shrunk, you have to hold things under your chin.
Oh, yeah. Ain't you ever seen Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, haven't you ever seen? So, I'm sorry, Phil. I should have informed you.
No, I should have read the book. I mean, when I talked to Bud, he said it was about that you were unfaithful to your husband. And when I think of being unfaithful, I think of sexual infidelity. But you're saying that you were unfaithful to him.
No, I'm not even saying I was unfaithful to Steve. I'm saying that I compromised my values.
Because you fell for a guy?
Yeah, the arm's all gimped.
Yeah, his arm gimped, and at one point it gimped and then withered. I don't know. I don't know what the medical term is.
Well, I don't know whether gimped and then withered is even appropriate here. And to be honest with you, I think it's a little offensive.
Excuse me?
I think it's a little offensive.
Well, aren't you judgmental? I mean, I'm telling you about my life, and you're telling me that I'm being offensive. I'm telling you that I lowered my standards to be with this man. I would have done anything for this man. I fell in love with this man. And only by the grace of God, only by the grace of God and the fact that he was physically unattractive because of the arm, did I not have sex with him. Otherwise, I was lost. My soul would have been lost.
Thank God my body came back to me.
Ms. Dooley, I think you're giving yourself a little too much credit here.
I beg your pardon?
I think you're giving yourself... You say that you fell in love with this guy, and the only reason why you didn't sleep with him is because he had this arm that was deformed.
Well, it gimped and then withered.
Yeah, it gimped up and then withered in.
I don't even know what gimped up and withered in means. The guy had a deformed arm.
Yes, and I'd appreciate you not yelling at me.
Don't yell at my wife. She's been through a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet she's been through a lot, huh? Especially in the parking lot at Kookaroo.
How dare you?
That's uncalled for, Mr. Henry.
Well, I had you guys on here telling me that you're going to talk to me about the 19-year sore, or whatever the hell this thing is, about how the whole family there had to go through these trying times because... What the hell is this?
That's Barry White losing his mind.
That's Barry White crapping his pants. What do you think?
Would you please turn that off so I can talk?
Turn it off, Steve. Turn it off. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, is that right? Is that what I am? I'm a pain in the ass? Is that what I'm being? Because I'm saying to you that I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, Miss Dooley, that you decided not to sleep with a guy because he had a, quote, withered, gimped arm, end quote. I'm not...
I was very much in love with him.
Well, yeah, uh-huh. Sure you were. Maybe you were infatuated with his intellect. Maybe you were infatuated with the kind of man that he was, his suave, debonair way, whatever it was. But when it came to his Kaiser Wilhelm arm, all bets were off.
What?
What?
Huh?
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 What?
Huh?
You want to do that a few more times, man? And then maybe if I slow it down, I got an owl sound effect.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Who's Kaiser Wilhelm?
Is that a bread?
That's right. Kaiser Wilhelm is a new kind of sandwich roll.
Well, what does that got to do with what we're talking about?
Because the guy that started the Kaiser Wilhelm bread company had a gimped up arm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think you've misunderstood me. I think you've insulted me. I think you have done everything in your power to take what I thought was an offering of goodness and an offering to all married couples so that they could find their way to happiness. You have taken it, and you have wiped your crotch with it.
Yeah, you just basically rubbed it right on your area.
I didn't do any such thing.
Well, that's what
it feels like to me.
I didn't do any such thing, Ms. Dooley. All I said was, I don't think your values are all that high.
I think, how dare you? What do you mean by that?
What does that mean, your values got compromised?
Phil, I fell under the spell of a gimped out, withered arm of a man, and all you can do is mock me. How do you feel?
What are your values?
Ordinarily, a woman is not going to fall in love with a man whose arm only goes halfway down the sleeve.
Right. How many women fall in love with a man with an arm going halfway down the sleeve?
Yeah, how many?
How many,
Mr. Henry?
I don't know, and I don't care. I'm saying your values and your morals and your sensitivity and sensibility is so limited that you think you made a big sacrifice of your morals by being infatuated with this guy who had a withered arm, but you would never deign to sleep with the guy. That's something you just wouldn't do, is it?
Well, of course not. How could you possibly think
that? Yeah, how do you think that?
I don't know. You had a period in your life where you were giving oral to every guy in the Cuckoo parking lot.
They didn't have a withered gimped up.
Yeah, they didn't gimp up.
See, do you understand the difference? There was nothing gimped.
Yeah, I understand perfectly. You are a shallow, shallow woman.
Oh, okay, everybody out there. Phil Henry wants every woman to make love to a man whose arm goes halfway down the sleeve. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody out there.
Oh, shut up. She already said it.
What an idiot. That woman.
Not that, will you, man?
No, I think it's pretty funny, but it needs work.
What?
The whole Barry White thing.
I don't care about Barry White, man. It's not interesting to me at all. I'm talking about this woman that comes on. Oh, will you? That's him being sexy.
What?
That's him trying to be. What do you mean he's losing his mud?
I think it's brown note time. Yes, brown note. The brand new beer from Barry White.
Not funny. All right, we'll be back. This is the world famous. I had to compromise my values. I fell in love with a guy whose arm only went halfway down the sleeve.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
David Hall on three, and I have Gary Dupree going on four. We do have to get intro on music and everything.
I have not been told about this.
That's right, David Hall.
Yeah, David.
All right, Gary Dupree, that's me. And then go into the final stage of the lightning round. I'm sorry I have to jump in here, but Gary Dupree, that's me as new setup. And I want to make sure we get the setup, and then, of course, we move into him, and of course, it's fully sponsored.
I wasn't told about this.
I'm telling you now.
Can you tell me before I go on the air? How about that?
I'm sorry. Gary Dupree, that's me. You know who that is?
I know some kid that calls from Minneapolis every now and again with Gary. Hi, Phil. It's Gary Dupree. That's me.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, buddy. Hit it. Now, make sure that you hit that, then you come in with the sting, and then Gary Dupree, that's me. Got it?
I got it.
Go ahead, Phil.
It's go the ahead, Phil Henry Show what? Featuring Gary Dupree.
No, wait a minute, but don't hit that. I want Phil to do it.
Okay, we had it pre-produced.
I know, but I want to send that back to the home office to have some adjustments made. So,
what are you, Jack? Turn that crap off. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Somebody better start answering some questions here. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Gary turn the music off, bud.
All right, let me, did that do it?
Yeah, that did it. Did that do it? You know, is Gary on the line?
Yeah, he's getting impatient.
Go ahead, Phil. Gary Dupree, that's me. Come on, man.
And now, the Phil Hendry Show presents...
All right, cut. That sucked. Hold on for a minute. Cut. You gotta do it good. Do it good.
What do you mean, do it good?
Well, you don't go... Jesus.
You're making me sound like I got some disability or something.
Well, it sounds like it. You ready? What are you, deaf? Hey, Phil, why don't you just do it like a deaf guy?
Yeah, let's just do it like a deaf guy.
And do it like the pee. Want to do it like that?
You know, David...
No, don't think you know David anything. Come on. All right, bud... Go ahead and hit it.
And now, Gary Dupree, that's me.
Brought to you by Midol.
Will you come on with this? What does that mean, brought to you by Midol? Since when has this guy got a sponsorship?
He's got, I don't know, he says he does.
He's a lying little sack of crap.
Just do it. I don't have to warn you again. Where's the music, bud?
I missed it.
You hang up on this guy before I flip my lid. Where is this punk?
He's on line four.
Get his music ready.
All right. Hey, Gary? Yeah, don't worry about it. Henry, you know, he's a little slow.
Will you give me that phone? Is this you, Dupree? Yeah? Get ready, okay? What do you mean, who do I think I'm talking to? I'm talking to you, you little putz. Now get ready, all right? I'm going to bring you on. You ready? You sure? Here we go. And now, Gary Dupree, that's me, brought to you by Midol. Oh, I'm sorry. We're out of time for the hour, Gary. What's that? Oh, my mom, huh? My mother? No, your mother. That's right. Your mother. No, your mother. No, your mother.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And, well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And that's just that's the facts, Jack. And, of course, this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Welcome to the program tonight. We've got Art Griego on with us. Mr. Griego, who is a retired commercial pilot, and he's going to talk to us about the I was going to say bizarre rant of the Southwest pilot. It wasn't bizarre, because I think if you're a man, you've probably heard that before from other men. But what was bizarre about it was that it was a rant by a Southwest pilot against gays, against ugly women, against old women, and just basically against the quality of people he had to party with once he landed in a city, the quality of people that Southwest hires. And this got out over the airwaves and was heard by air traffic controllers. And at one point, one of the air traffic controllers says to the pilot of the aircraft, I believe, or one of the other pilots that's nearby, says, tell him to shut up. Because this is being recorded and is being heard by the air traffic control center. So we're going to talk with Art Griego about that. We're going to start off with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and stepping up their patrol duties for the summer 2011. There is a training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View, or Stalker Point of View. It is a Citizens Auxiliary Police training film, a copy of which was received by one of the local newspapers, and we're going to have Jay Sanis on to explain this. It has an unusual point of view, and it is one that could have land the organization in a little bit of hot water. So he's going to be on to talk about this Stalker's Point of View training film that was produced by the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. We call it the Patriot Line, so you're invited to call us and to be a part of the evening's festivities. Of course, we always include in our welcomes every evening our affiliate spotlight, and tonight we spotlight WDTW in Detroit and KBBO Yakima, Washington, two stations along the Phil Hendry Radio Network. And if you're watching us in HD on Phil TV, then you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website. If you don't, get one. Go to philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming.
Hey, you want some water?
I got it. Our live streaming. Our live streaming what?
I don't know.
Our live. You mean you don't know? Our live streaming video. That's it. Our video cast here from the El Pacifico, and behind me the roiling surf of the El Pacifico, and right here is something that scares Bud. We call this the sun god face. Look at that.
It looks like a Japanese flag.
Oh, take it easy. 877-876-PHIL, on hold and very, very patiently on hold. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police Formed in 1997 in the South Bay of Southern California, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer, but more than just a volunteer police agency. It is an auxiliary police agency. It's not a vigilante group. These are men who consider themselves support, and that is auxiliary support for the police. Jay, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil. And always great for you to have us on your program. Appreciate it.
And I know that this has come as some bad, bad public relations for you. And that is this training film, correct?
Well, we are not exactly sure how or why this training film has been reviewed by, in two instances, the Santa Monica paper, as well as, I believe, one of the Palos Verdes dailies. And I think the L.A. Weekly also has a copy of it. We don't know why. It is a training film, and it's a training film that we use as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, as an auxiliary police agency. We're on the front lines of law enforcement, and what we're trying to do and what we're all about is saving lives. And if we cannot do that, if we are kept from doing that, if we are made a object of ridicule while we try to do that, then we don't feel there is much that can be done to enforce the law and to make our streets, make our homes all more important, Shirley, to make our homes safe.
But you can't blame anybody other than somebody inside your organization for leaking this, right?
No, we don't necessarily think that is the case. We think that there was a copy of this film that was left out, and I would say that I would indict my organization only to the extent that we did not secure this film. It was then left in a place where it was compromised, secreted in some fashion by an individual who then took it and gave it to these news agencies. There is absolutely nothing on that film that in any way, shape, or form constitutes a criminal act. In point of fact, it is a film, it is a video of us trying to train our young men and women in being citizens auxiliary police officers.
All right, now let's tell people what is on this video. And I know you don't want me to do it. You'd rather do it.
Well, absolutely. The point that we tried to make when we were alerted to the fact that this had been leaked to the press was that this was a piece of video that was a training effort showing the criminal point of view. We've had, and I'm sure you understand, the rash of sexual assaults in the city of Los Angeles and in the outlying areas that begin, and law enforcement will tell you this, they begin as individuals who are stalking homes, looking through windows, and observing the occupants of those homes while they feel that they're not being observed, while they feel they are safe within the security of their own home. In point of fact, there's these peeping Toms.
And I understand that. And peeping Toms eventually, in many cases, become rapists. So I understand that.
Well, let me finish what it is that I'm trying to say, and I can get some questions. So, the training film is very simply one that was shot by myself and Randy Gleason, who's one of our sub-commanders. We also have Major Elvis Newton, who was bringing an equipment van. And I think we had Jerry Clemens, too. Is that right, Randy? So Jerry Clemens is also one of our sub-commanders. And I think Jerry was with Major Newton in an equipment van. We used the equipment van to transport us from home to home. The film, or the video, is a point of view, and again, I want to underline that, point of view of a criminal.
And what does it show?
It shows the point of view, Mr. Henry, of the perpetrator.
And all right, so it shows the point of view. So is this a video that shows women in their bedrooms?
It is a video, and this is where we got into trouble, and this is where I believe a couple of these periodicals are going to be, have done things actionable. I want to sue. And
all right, but I understand that you feel that you'd like to sue and that you've been misrepresented. Can you tell me what the video shows?
I will tell you what the video is about. It is the point of view of a peeping Tom. It is the point of view of an individual who could very well evolve into a violent criminal, a rapist, or worse. It is the point of view of a individual that stalks homes, that stalks neighborhoods, that goes door to door, house to house, and peers in the windows of unsuspecting people. This is very, very valuable training footage for those of us on the front lines of law enforcement.
All right. Now Jay, I don't want to embarrass you, and I know that...
We have done nothing, Phil, to be embarrassed about.
I understand that. But can you please tell me, if you wouldn't mind, what exactly is depicted so that we understand what the issues are here?
What is depicted is the point of view of a person who is invading the privacy of individual homes. It's what he sees as he goes along the darkened walls, if you will, and the shadows and areas of darkness and areas of cover in the out-of-doors at night, moving from one house to another house. So you're seeing...
Yeah, I know that, but that's not what caused the stir, because when this video...
You want me to tell you what is exactly in these videos, and I would ask you why.
Well, if you say this is the point of view of a peeping Tom, let me just ask you, do we see naked women?
When you say we don't see anything, because this was not intended for the general public. It's a training film. Now, this film was originally taken back, this video, I should call it, because it is video, it's digital video. The video was taken back to Sub-Commander Gleason's home. We were using one of the sheds in his backyard as one of our sub-commander posts, and at that time, we took the video, and we had the other sub-commanders there, as well as Major Newton and a couple of other people we know from retired law enforcement, and we reviewed the footage to make sure that we got the point of view that we wanted to get, and we judged it to be standard. We judged it to be suitable. We judged it to be perfectly suitable for what we wanted to do.
All right. We're talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They're being threatened with a couple of lawsuits, an invasion of privacy, etc., because there is, training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View. It was a piece of video footage shot from the point of view of a peeping Tom. Who was holding the camera?
That camera was mounted on a helmet that I was wearing. So it was a helmet cam. I was moving along the wall. I was being directed by Sub-Command Lisa and Major Elvis Newton. They were directing me as to which angle to get, at which point of the house I should turn and look in the window, which point of the house I should move along the wall.
Okay, so you were the operator of the camera?
The camera was on my person.
But there were people directing you as to which way to turn?
That's correct, Richard. That's correct, yes.
Did you have a viewfinder?
I had one eye viewfinder. I had a viewfinder that snapped down from the camera that I could look at, yeah.
All right. And
you asked me that question, why? Because, I'll tell you why, Phil.
Well, I asked the question.
Let me tell you why. Because I've had just about enough of people asking me questions about, did you get your, will you get your cookies? Looking at...
No, I'm not asking you that. I just wanted to know who was looking through this camera. Now, you say you weren't directing it, that the others were directing you, but you could see through the camera what you were looking at.
That is correct.
All right, what were you looking at?
I was looking at the point of view.
No, I've heard you say that already, Jay, but I mean, you know, let's be honest. Were you looking through bedroom windows at women dressing and undressing?
I was looking at what a peeping Tom... What a successful peek-a-tom would look at. In other words, if he were successful in his peek, in his, I don't know what they call it, you know, because I can be honest with you. I mean, we've busted these people before, but what they themselves call, if he was successful in his peekaboo, in a night of peekaboo, or how they do it, if he were successful, then he saw what I saw.
And that, I don't understand that. I don't understand.
In other words, Phil, if this were a peeping Tom who were successful at his
spying on people.
Exactly, at spying on people, then he would definitely have seen what I saw, and that's what makes it a good training film. And
why are you reluctant to tell me what it is that you saw?
I'm I'm not reluctant. I don't think I need to. I think you can pretty much use your imagination.
And all right, so let me get this straight. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So,
and one more thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
We got probably 20 minutes of good footage. We were out 2 hours, but we only got 20 minutes of quality training footage. And we went back to the, as I said, the substation. There was some commentary that there was music or there was beer drinking. I can tell you that that is a slander.
Were you guys drinking beer watching this stuff? Because it has the feeling of a stag party.
Not at all. That is a lie that was perpetrated perpetrated for the most part by this newspaper reporter.
All right, Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A training film that was produced by himself and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, where they literally were peeking in the windows of women changing their clothes. So they were giving you the point of view of a peeping Tom. Well, there's one problem with that. There's one problem with that. They are actually the peeping Toms. Now, they don't feel that way. They are not releasing the videotape. They are defending themselves against the threat of lawsuit. And they say that what they did absolutely did not violate the law. We're going to talk more with Jay, and we also want to get your feelings as well at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police about this Night Stalker training film that it literally was them filming women undressing, and they feel it was legal what they did to train their officers. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Is that true? I want to see it. I got a copy of it.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome, folks, to our nightly Radio for Patriots by Patriots here from the El Pacifico in California, across the country. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. We're going to talk with him in just a second about this training film that was not supposed to have seen the light of day, and I think I understand why. And they are maintaining that no law was broken, as they as a training film went out and rolled video footage walking along and peeping in windows. Their idea was to create a training film showing the criminal's point of view. 877-876-PHIL. A reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com, and at our website you pick up a backstage pass. It gives you access to our Phil Show, our Phil TV in HD, our video casts each night, as well as our daily podcasts of the show, as well as our archives that go back some 15 years, thousands and thousands of hours, as well as our webisodes, as well as our rants, as well as our newsfeed. It's on and on and on. And stop by the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of our best of CDs, our t-shirt, our mug, our shot glass. I mean, we got it all, man. It's like a supermarket over there, philhendryshow.com. All right, Jay, I want to get some people commenting on this. I also want you to tell me if you were out there doing what you were doing and a police officer rolled along, what do you think would have happened?
Well, Phil, we were out there, and again, this is something that you probably don't understand, probably a lot of your listeners don't understand. It's all about intent. If my intent is to simply make a training film of women that are of what a peeping Tom is going to do, then that's my intent. If a police officer came along at that time, there would have been professional courtesy. We certainly would have explained to him what we're doing, and we would have been a tip of the cap in an honest, merry way.
And so a police officer in a black and white, while you guys are there in your camouflage as the Citizens Auxiliary Police, he sees you with a video camera on a helmet and you're looking in women's windows. And
we are not, and boy, I wish you'd get this, we are not there to look at these women as a sexual, what's the word that they use, prurient interest. We are looking at the situation so that we can take it back and train our sub-commander and how they're going to do it. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with our prurient interest or getting some kind of a sexual thrill seeing it. I will tell you this much, Phil. When we went back and reviewed the footage, women really do expose themselves. And so we want people to know that there are peeping Tom out there, and women are in the window. You can look in a bedroom window and see what they're doing. And I would say to a lot of husbands, they're probably not going to like me for this because I did have a camera on their wives. But I will tell you this, it's going to save their lives. And that's what we're about. We're about saving lives. The women who we filmed, even though they didn't know they were being filmed, would support the intent of this video, given how we was able to show how exposed they is. And I think their husbands, had they known...
Let me, can I just say something to you? And
oh, I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, that, I mean, the husbands would, if they'd found you out there, there would have been a riot. I mean...
Well, no, let's just remember what you're doing. We're dealing with citizen auxiliary police. You know, we're going to explain to them, cool it down, back it up, you know, back it way down, cool it way down, or cool it out, you know.
Well, I tell you, if I'm a husband, I come out around the side of my house, I see guys there with a camera looking in the window, I go back around inside my house with my shotgun, come out.
Okay, if you open up on me and I'm outside your house, you're guilty of attempted murder.
I mean, I didn't say I'd open up. But I sure as hell would point that thing at you and tell you to get the hell lost. As a matter of fact, I'd have somebody in the house calling 911. I'd keep an eye on you jackasses. I would.
Well, again, you don't understand anything about the law and intent. That's your number one problem.
877-876-PHIL. Oh, man, I wanted to get to some phone calls. All right, when we come back, we will get to the calls. I apologize, folks, but Jay Santos here, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, on this training film, The Point of View of a Peeping Tom. This thing got out. It has been looked at by the press, and they've got some problems. They don't think, though, that they have committed any crime. Your call is coming up at 877-876-PHIL. Be right back.
Well, you just keep running your...
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We have a situation here where, a blatant piece of invasion of privacy, in my opinion, has taken place, and that is this training film.
Phil, that we have shown, we showed this training film to one, you mentioned husbands, we showed this training film to one of the husbands who we were able to sit down and show him this film. It was, in point of fact, a piece of footage of his own wife exposing herself in a bedroom right through the window. So if you had a camera, you look in, you see it all, and she was engaged in some very private activity. And I said to him, I said, look at this. As your wife is in there, with a window, you know.
Was the window open?
The window had, the shade was drawn and the curtain was drawn, but there was an area where the curtain had caught on a piece of lamp or had caught on a piece of table, I'm not sure which, in which case I was able to lower myself by a couple of degrees and then look up, and I caught her reflection in a mirror.
And so you had to go through all kinds of gymnastics to get a look at this woman.
She was engaged in a bit of personal grooming, which I showed to this gentleman, Lauren, who was her husband. I said, look at that. And I made a joke. I said, it's like she missed a spot, and he laughed. But these are two people that fully appreciate what we've done.
You know, I got to tell you, man, you're taking your life into your hands, you know.
Why is that?
Because I don't know about this man that you talked to. Any other husband, I think, would be violent. Violent, knowing that you got a camera outside of his wife's bedroom and you've got pictures or video of her, you know.
We're not doing this for sexual prurient interest or to have a sexual, a lot of fun. Having said, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it as a training film.
And this idea that if a cop came along and saw you doing this, and it would be, oh, yeah, sure, professional courtesy, that is another one that I have very, very serious questions about. Let's go to a phone call. Natalie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Sir, you violated that woman's rights. Not only did you do that, but you instilled fear because the very people that were set out to protect her are the ones that violated her. You should be prosecuted.
Oh, we don't, ma'am. No, we didn't violate her. I'm not taking that movie and going out and selling it so people can get their cookies. I'm using it as a training film for my subcommanders so we know the mindset of the pervert that's doing that. That's a difference. That's a big difference.
That's not a difference. That's just making you the biggest pervert of all, because not only are you teaching other people how to do it.
No, ma'am. We're not teaching people how to do it. We're showing these our subcommanders what are the tricks of the trade that a pervert is going to use. As I just explained to Mr. Henry, and I explained to his audience, this woman had her window closed, her curtains drawn, and her blind pulled down, except for one thing she didn't think about, and that is that a peeping Tom who really, really wants to look is going to find a way. And
oh, well, I mean, sure. And so you looked for a way.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying that I'm having fun doing this? Because I can tell you I'm not. I'm doing this to protect the women themselves. And there she is. If it was you, Natalie,
you didn't protect her. You violated her because you did not let her know that you were doing this ahead of time.
I did let her know. I let her know afterwards, and she wanted to know some information. And
you let her know afterwards?
Yes, sir.
And what did she say?
After I explained what we was doing, she went, we shook hands, and it was all big misunderstanding. So
that doesn't quite cut it.
It may not cut it for you, but I can ask you, ma'am, let me just ask you. If you caught me with my camera looking at you, and I told you the reason I'm doing this is for training my officers.
I would have been tempted to grab a gun.
Well, I don't believe that. I think you don't sound like a violent person. You sound like a reasonable woman. And even if I caught you getting up off a toilet. And
are you kidding, man? Are you serious?
My job is to know people, Phil, and I think I know people pretty well. And this lady, she's a peaceful person. She's a truck driver. If you're a truck driver, what makes you think I'm going to want to get... Well, I better not say.
What does that mean?
Well, ma'am, is a peeping Tom really going to want to... You understand what I'm saying?
Do what?
If you're a truck driver, what peeping Tom's really going to want to linger longer than maybe like a second and a half and then go, okay, move on?
Oh, you're a jerk, too, because I'm a
driver. I'm asking, are you really all that much of a draw? All right, I'm sorry.
What? You know, Jay... You know, the questions you're asking here, you get deeper and deeper as you dig these holes for yourselves. Thank you very much, Natalie. 877-876-PHIL. The question that I have is the following question. If a cop stops and sees you doing this, you feel you're okay.
Once we explain to the officer what we're doing, which is basically the intent is that I don't have any intent, especially if I was at the window of a woman such as Natalie, who is a fine lady, but she's a truck driver, and... I suppose if I wanted to, I could show the officer the footage of her, and he'd say, I'm sure you'd agree with me, yeah, it's nothing really going on there, so...
I see. So in other words, you got film footage of a woman you may not think is attractive, and so therefore it couldn't possibly be for peeping Tom purposes. It is strictly for the... it's not for you to get any prurient thrill, it's the peeping Tom training film.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And if you happen to have a really attractive woman on film, I wonder what the answer is. 877-876-PHIL. Dale in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Dale. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. What I was actually wondering,
sir,
is why didn't they not stage the film, the training film, instead of going out and invading people's privacies? They could have actually hired models or actors and staged it and got their point tastefully. They didn't actually have to be naked or anything like that. They could have got their point of view of a training video tastefully, legally, without invading people's rights, using models and actors, instead of going out sneaking behind people's homes and invading their privacies without them knowing.
It's a good point, Jay.
I think it is a good point, but here's my answer, sir. if you use models, if you use actors, you do not have a real-time response. You don't have a real-time visceral response, and that's what we're looking for here. It's the same reason why police officers use in training real suicide, real gunfire and stuff. You know, they'll shoot like a pig or something, and it's not a human, but they'll shoot something.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
instead of, you don't shoot a human, you shoot a pig, so you do something similar. You don't actually have to do the literal thing.
Right.
Well, there's no way to do that with a peeping Tom. You've got to get a real woman. And I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I mean, how are you going to make up? How do you make that up? How do you say, now I'm going to put a camera in a window, and a woman's going to be in there with no pants on, and that's somebody I know who I hired? I don't think so. There's not a woman I know that's going to do it.
Oh, okay. That's just great. So let's go find a woman, an innocent woman, who doesn't know.
Well, Phil, any woman that knows that's happening is not of the highest morality. You know?
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is if I hire a woman to stand there nude while I got a camera looking at her while she's grooming it, God!
She's a whore or something?
Well, it's not the highest. It's porn. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, Dale? Dale, you're in the Bakersfield area. Do you know the Bakersfield Colonels? Do you know who they are? The Bakersfield Colonels in Kern County are the auxiliary police agency in Bakersfield, California. And I suggest you talk with them, go in, read the brochures, read some of the material, talk to the sub-commanders up there, talk to Commander Glahn, who has been with the Bakersfield Colonels. He's going to let you know, because they do the very similar thing. They go window to window, door to door, and they've got some footage. The women, you never know who they are. You know, you're looking at it.
So these guys are up there taking film footage. The women never know that they've been had their pictures taken, and these guys are looking at this as training.
Well, okay, I guess I'm sorry I said that, because now...
You bet. Now I know what's happening in Bakersfield. Thanks very much, Dale. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we talk here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, how did this husband discover that you guys were at his window taking a digital video picture of his wife?
Well, you're talking about Jim Jensen, and Jim and his wife, Carolyn, they saw me when we brought our crew on property, and Jim wanted to know what we were doing, and I had the camera going through his wife's bedroom window, and we had already caught probably about 15 minutes of her bathing and getting ready for bed. When he came over and he said, "What are you doing?" I told him I was at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It was a training film. I said, "You're more than welcome to look at the footage that we have recorded." He did. Went back to the truck with Major Elvis Newton. Major Newton calmed him down and showed him the footage. We went into the house, explained it to both of them. I even offered to give them money, which they turned down initially, but then they went ahead and accepted that.
You gave them money?
Well, yes. We cut them a check for $2,000 so that they would feel covered. This is not anything, Phil, that we haven't done before. They did not want to feel as if his wife, some kind of whore or slut. And
so you paid them $2,000 for a piece of footage of the guy's wife undressing and dressing and everything else. And
this is not going to be shown publicly, is what I'm trying to say.
Only to your sub-commanders.
That is correct.
877-876-7445. Here is Conrad in New York. Conrad, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Mr. Santos, haven't you ever realized you are breaking the law? You are a fledgling servant of the law, and you are breaking the law.
If the intent, sir, is to look at a woman in a dirty way or a prurient way, yes, I agree with you 100%. I'm breaking the law. But if the intent is to capture digital footage.
You just admitted to a crime, okay?
No, sir, because I was not looking at her. I wasn't looking at her. No, because you're wrong. I wasn't looking at her to get my sexual, you know, kicks and thrills.
You're talking about, you know, her shaving and getting graphic and, like, you're getting off on it. You know,
no, sir.
That is beyond
no, sir.
The law. There, you in the under the guise of teaching the law, you're breaking the law. It's like, you know, don't shoot heroin, but, oh, here, shoot this. You know what this
No, sir, I'm not. I am not breaking the law because...
This man is right. You talked about in very graphic...
I'm not breaking the law because I'm not doing it to get my cookies, okay? If you're doing it to get your cookies, you understand?
Okay, well, invite the desk sergeant down from your local police headquarters.
There you go. There you go. Why don't you invite the local police down?
Invite to do what? They know that what I'm doing. I don't understand. Why should I do that?
Because so to make sure the cops see what you're doing, to make sure you're covered, and to make sure it's legal.
Well, I'll tell you what. When the police start. What's that?
Put on a little seminar for them. I'd like to see you do that. Because you know,
well, you know what?
If you did that, they would lock your ass up and gone. Excuse me.
No, sir. I don't believe that at all. And to be honest with you, the day they invite me to come along on some of their little jaunts to the donut store or however, then I'll invite them on my job. You know, that's the way you want to play that, if that's the way they want to play it,
you
want to play it like that.
And you are a police officer, and that's your point of police officer, the police.
No, sir, I do not want to be. I am a citizen's auxiliary. I don't want to be police officer. There's too much politics involved. I want to be a citizen's auxiliary.
So then you're playing. Then you're playing.
No, I'm not playing.
You're play acting. Breaking the law.
No, sir.
And just living in this, your little fantasy world.
No, sir. I am trying to improve on the techniques of the police. And
how can you improve on the techniques of the police when you don't even know what their techniques are and you don't even know what the law is?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to improve. We've got peeping Toms out there, okay? You agree on that one, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we stop them? The first way is to see what are they doing? What are they looking at? And maybe we could stop doing... You guys are really stupid.
You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. Don't you
what
get
law
it?
What law am I asking? No, I'm not breaking a law when my intent is to take
your
film footage. It's not to have... It's not to, you know, go back to the... It's not to go back to the shed, chase everybody out of there, turn the lights off, lock the door, and get my cookies.
Okay.
I mean, that's what. Well, I mean, you guys.
No, it's not you guys. We're just trying to figure out.
Now, you guys. I tell you what you do. You go get yourself a box of Krispy Kreme, and you learn how to be a cop, and I'll do what I'm doing.
All right. 877. Thanks very much, Conrad. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. In creating this training footage that he has been showing his sub commanders. Now this is an auxiliary police agency, not one that is accredited by the state. They have created what they call a point of view video. They go from a bedroom window to bedroom window with a camera mounted on a helmet as they take images of women dressing and undressing. In other words, peeping Toms. And then they go back and they look at this as a training exercise. What do you think about that from the standpoint of training police? Is it a violation of a woman's rights if the intent is not anything other than to train police officers? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we're going to be talking with Art Griego about the Southwest Airlines incident in which there was a pilot who had gotten on and talked disparagingly about the crews that he serves with. The Southwest crews and how they are nothing much to party with because they're old and they're ugly and they're gay. And we'll talk with Art about that at the top of the hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You've heard the outrage of people here, Jay. You've heard them saying that you are breaking the law. You've heard them saying that you are invading their privacy. You've heard them saying that this is nothing that any law-abiding person would welcome. What do you say to that? You are there with a camera.
I mean, the thing I say...
You're there with a camera, and you are looking in bedroom windows, and you are recording the actions of women who are unclothed or disrobed, and you're taking that back, and for the private use of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as a training film, you're viewing this without the knowledge of the wife, without the knowledge of the husband.
One of the reasons why we came on your program tonight, Phil, was not just to defend ourselves against what we think are scurrilous attacks, what have come from the Santa Monica newspaper as well as the South Bay newspaper. One of the reasons why we have come on your program tonight is to tell those individuals who may be affected by our activities that they are more than welcome anytime to visit our substation. And as I mentioned, this week it is at Subcommander Gleason's house. He has a shed which is in the, I think, the back southeastern corner of his property, which is what we're using right now as a substation. And
what do you mean by a shed? What does that mean, a shed?
Well, it's a part of, it was a shed that he originally had put together for equipment. And we cleared it out and pulled, there were some lawnmowers in there and pulled those out. And that's where we processed anybody we detained. And
you're using that as a substation?
That's correct, yes, sir.
A tool shed in someone's backyard?
We are not, yes, sir. We're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are using part of our homes we write off for tax purposes as offices.
All right, go ahead.
So did you bring that up to embarrass me? I mean,
well, you said to me that there's a shed in the guy's backyard.
I mean, I told you there's a shed because you keep asking me where is it or where do you do or.
No, I was just, you said that you took this digital footage back to a substation and viewed it. You said there's a shed, so you brought it up.
Yes, there's a shed. That's all I needed to say, is there's a shed. There's a shed, and that's it. And you start asking me, well, really, is it a tool shed? Oh, wow, and you're pulling lawnmowers out of it?
You told me that you're pulling lawnmowers out of it. I didn't know. I'm asking you, so you're using a tool shed?
Yeah. God, man. So, in other words, you brought me on your show tonight just to get to this point where I would say to you that I use as a substation a place where we usually keep lawnmowers and fertilizer. Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's it, Jay. That's, I planned for this entire moment.
Oh, God.
Phil Hendry.
I hope you burn.
Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Match.com is a business. And like any business...
Knock him out! Knock him out! You got to sign!
Any person that has lawful business...
We may disagree with him on some issues, and we may wish that...
Bleeping retarded.
Booty is worse than butt.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Now, this hour, we're going to have on Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is a longtime conservative. He's going to be talking with us about what I continue to believe is a fascinating story. And the reason why I think it's fascinating isn't because I think Westboro Baptist Church is all this. I think that they are they're the definition of the Poe's Law, as we came to understand it. That is, there are some people so extreme, it's impossible to satirize them. But Mr. Grover, as a conservative, is going to be coming on and talking about these protests by Westboro Baptist Church members at military funerals. And as a conservative and one who believes in free speech, Where is he going to fall on this particular issue? That's coming up in just a second here. 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Hendry Show. And also visit us online at philhendryshow.com, where we have our live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD is what we call it, because it is high definition video, and it's a beautiful picture, and it's a beautiful thing. So head on over. Also, you have access to all of our archive material. We have thousands of hours of archived radio material. We have our podcasts every day, classic Phil podcasts from our legacy material and so forth at philhendryshow.com. It's the greatest entertainment buy in the history of man on this planet. If you don't believe me, ask other backstage pass members.
Yeah.
All right. Senators try to bar military funeral protests from the Westboro Baptist Church. The controversial Westboro Baptist Church would be restricted from holding its inflammatory protests outside the funerals of U.S. service members under a new bill being offered by a bipartisan group of senators. The Kansas-based church often sends members to attend funeral rites for service members killed at war, waving signs that claim God hates the deceased because America tolerates homosexuality. Earlier Thursday, five church members protested such a funeral in Florida and were met by a much larger counter-protest, according to Patch.com. Drawn up by Senator Olympia Stone, who is a Republican from Maine, the Sanctity of Eternal Rest for Veterans Act, or SERV, would mandate 2 hours of quiet time before and after funerals and set a 300-foot buffer zone around the funerals and a 500-foot buffer around routes to and from the memorials, and it would also provide for fines of up to $50,000. So let's get Larry Grover on the phone here with us from Culver City, California. Larry, a longtime conservative with Conservatives of Kern County. And you had a hospital stay last night, Larry?
Yeah, I did have a hospital, briefly in the hospital last night, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program. Conservatives of Kern County has yet to make any statement, either endorsing or not endorsing this SERV Act. And we are, as conservatives, concerned with the protection of the right to free speech. This is as sacred a right as any that has been enshrined in our Constitution. Founding fathers recognized that without it, there is no forward motion, there is no evolution of society, there is no, there really is no society, there's no free society, unless we have the ability to counter what our leaders do, to counter what our neighbors do. I'm a conservative who believes very much in free speech. I'm also a conservative who believes very much in our military, and I believe very much in the sanctity of the military. I believe that there is no more sacred a funeral or rite of a memorial rite than the one that is given to a member of our United States military who has given his or her life in the line of duty. And I am sickened to see that there are some Americans who believe it is a positive thing and an act of legitimacy to stand outside a man's memorial service and speak of that man as being a damned individual or otherwise not loved in the eyes of God. And so we are at a crossroads, and we don't really know where to fall on this.
Well, there are other Republicans. I don't know the. I'd have to take a look, Larry, at the Congress people that are lining up on this thing. But there are conservatives as well as liberals.
Well, that's the part that frightens me. Why would any conservative senator or congressperson go in with a liberal on a piece of legislation? Do you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, if...
Why would they do what? Why would any conservative...
Why would any conservative join with a liberal on any piece of legislation? It doesn't make any sense. Conservatives, the philosophy of conservatives, liberals are anathema. So that part I don't trust. The other part that I don't trust is how it is a conservative would allow for protests at a military funeral. It makes me sick to my stomach thinking about it.
Well, they're putting up a buffer zone, okay?
Now I know about their buffer zone, 500 feet, 300 feet. The fact that they would allow within a mile of the place individuals that are calling down the damnation of God onto one of our fallen sons or one of our fallen daughters from a foreign combat. I'm telling you, it tests the patience of every God-fearing and America-loving man, woman, and child to see people like that standing out and protesting that way.
But I don't mean to get you angry, but you also believe in their right to free speech.
Exactly. It also equally sickens me that they are trying to push these people away from the funeral, that American citizens, no matter how odious they are, who have a concern and want to express that opinion are not allowed to do it. They're supposed to go to the back of the bus. They're supposed to go to some alley. They're supposed to go to some street that's blocks away. They're supposed to move their protest into an area of town that may be dangerous for them. They're supposed to move their protest from the area where they want to protest, which is the military funeral. And because they're considered second-class citizens because of their protest, they're told to go stand in the black section of town or the Hispanic section of town, which may very well be dangerous. They are.
No one's telling them to do that. They're telling them to 300 feet away.
300 feet. When you're put 300 feet away from the object of your protest, you have basically been told, go to hell. Because that's where they've sent you.
All right. Larry Grover is on the line with us, folks. And if it sounds as if there is a dichotomy here, there's a split here. And
no, I'm not split at all. I am sickened by these protesters. And I understand that's what I said, that I also support them, but I'm also sickened by them.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a dichotomy here. As a conservative, you want them to have the free speech to protest at military funerals, but you also want the military respected. Now, I know you had gotten back from the hospital this morning, correct?
Yes.
Can you tell my audience why you were in the hospital?
I was in the hospital, Phil, getting stitches. And the reason why I was in the hospital getting stitches is because I was last night, about 10:30, I'd gotten off the phone with Clint Gallup, who is our vice chairman, and we had talked about what is going to be our white paper on this, what is going to be our position on protesting at military funerals. Do we support the First Amendment, or do we support the sanctity of the military funerals? And I mean, we were on the phone for 6 hours, and we got absolutely nothing settled. I got off the phone, and I began to feel a great deal of anxiety. I don't smoke, and I don't drink. And God forgive me, but I had thought about these young people who cut themselves, and I had no idea what the attraction would be. And I literally went into the bathroom and got a double-edged razor that I still use. I use one of these old Gillette blades, razors where it opens up and you drop the double-edged blade in there. And I began to experiment because I wanted to know why do young people do this and would it actually give me relief. And
you're kidding me. You started to cut yourself?
I began to cut myself not because I was a neurotic kid, but because I wanted to see if, in fact, it would give me relief and if, in fact, it was anything that I wanted to see why the kids are doing it because...
You started to cut yourself with a razor blade because you were torn about the whole Westboro Baptist Church thing.
Yes, I was. I was torn by the Westboro Baptist Church issue of free speech for the sanctity of military funerals, but I also decided that once I saw that I had the double-edged razor, that I would see if... You don't understand.
Well, you went to the hospital and got stitches.
Yes, I did.
All right.
I don't understand. What's the pause? Is it all of a sudden, oh, we better get an ambulance over there because Larry's lost his mind?
No. I'm trying to formulate a way to.
Oh, you need to talk me down off the ledge? Is that what you need to do?
No, I do not, Mr. Grover. I'm asking. I guess what I'm saying here is, do you feel that you're in a good mental health?
Okay. I knew that.
I'm asking you if you've been driven to distraction by this issue.
Well, you're a conservative, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
What is your position?
My position is that they have the right to protest, although at a military funeral, just like the call to protect the American flag, just like the call, let's say, to protect the bald eagle, just like the various calls that we've had to protect certain national shrines, national monuments, or places of national affection, I think those areas need to be protected. I would never, ever countenance, for instance, protests at the Shanksville Memorial, the memorial site for United 93, you know?
As would I.
Okay. And so, therefore, I would never countenance protests at a military funeral. Now, it sounds to me like this is what they are addressing in Congress.
No. They're not addressing it in Congress because they're pushing people back 300 feet. They're pushing them too far away from the site of the funeral. To me, they are giving into the liberals. The liberals that hate the military, the liberals that cannot stand the military, want to make sure that there is a protest afoot somewhere that can be heard or seen. The conservatives should be fighting them on that. But instead, the conservatives are letting them have the protest.
But it's 300 feet away, and it's also 500 feet. There's a 500-foot buffer around the routes. That is the route of traffic. Okay?
To me, it is a cop-out. And at the same time, I like the fact that they're protesting. And that's the thing that drove me to the point of self-mutilation.
You took a razor blade and started to cut yourself. Why? Because
I didn't know what part. I told you, I don't know what stand to take.
You don't know whether to support protests at the funerals or not?
Yes. What is your stand, sir?
Larry, I told you what my stand is.
No, you did not. You didn't tell me what your stand is. You told me that you support the protest, but you don't support the
I support the legislation, the SERV Act, which would mandate 2 hours of quiet time.
Quiet time. Quiet. Is that what they're calling it, quiet time?
2 hours of quiet time and a 300-foot buffer around the funerals and a 500-foot buffer around the routes to and from the memorials.
You know, if they didn't have that law.
All right. Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County. And, Bud, if you could get on the line with him and who is a conservative and as such doesn't know where to stand on the protests at funerals for the military. Because he's a conservative, he believes in free speech and that the protests should be allowed. Because he's a conservative, he also believes in protecting the United States military and especially military personnel who are being laid to rest. And so he doesn't like the protests. Last night at about 10:30, he became so distraught and anxious that he began to cut himself with a razor blade in much the same way that kids do this. And he returned from the hospital this afternoon after getting stitches. The question that I've got is he is so confused on things, he's cutting himself. Can you offer any advice to this guy on how to cope with this issue? His apparent confusion over the issue of free speech rights for the Westboro Baptist Church has caused him to act out like a teenager. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And on the line with me is Larry Grover, Conservatives of Kern County. We have an ideologic question, and the question is, as a conservative, and I've answered the question the best way I can.
I don't think you answered it, Phil. I think you copped out.
You think I'm copping out because I agree with this bipartisan law?
Yes, I think that if you're a conservative and you say, well, I can't answer Larry's question, so I'll just cop out and take the, there's an old song, you take the high road, I'll take the low road, and we'll meet in Glasgow in the morning. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
All right. When they sing that, and it was sung by the Scottish, and it had something to do with a war, I don't know, but it was about how do we get to where we want to be? Now, this is a question. And
what does that got to do with anything? You take the high road, I'll take the low road.
It was a Scottish song.
So what?
If I could finish what I was saying, Mr. Andrews.
Go ahead.
The issue here are military funerals and the First Amendment right to free speech. I'm a conservative, and I need to have an answer as to what side I support. Do I support the protection of military funerals, and I keep the Westboro Baptist Church away from them, which means I do not support free speech, I support the military funerals, or do I support free speech and allow the Westboro Baptist Church to have their protest, which means I support disrespecting our military? I've been asking this question for the last week and a half. I had a meeting yesterday on the phone, I told you, with Clark Burr. I got off the phone, I took a double-edged razor blade, and God forgive me, I began to cut my arms and my chest. And
you were acting out like a teenager. Did you talk to a psychologist?
Talk to a... Bill, I'm asking you...
No, I'm just asking, did you talk to a psychologist?
I'm telling... Yes, sir, I did. And let me say this. I'm telling you that this issue is so... God. This issue has me so confused that I want to pick up a blade. I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to hurt myself, but I do want to pick a razor blade up right now.
Well, all right, I tell you what. I don't relate to this at all.
You don't relate to a philosophical question that is at the very guts of what a conservative believes in.
I do not relate to you cutting yourself.
Hold on for a minute. We have the double edge.
Hey, Larry, don't make a spectacle out of yourself on the radio, okay?
I'm not making a spectacle out of myself. If you and your audience can't answer that question, then I'm going to say this. There are no conservatives in America. There's just a lot of cheap, good time front-running Charlies. That's what they are. Everybody wants to be a conservative because that's what the Rush Limbaugh wants you to do. But when it comes time to answering the real hard questions of a conservative, they can't do it. Give me the other one. No, the other, the double edge.
Hey, you know something, man? Whether or not I can answer these questions, whether or not the people of America, the conservatives of America, are real conservatives, or as you call them, front-running good-time Charlies, you know...
That's exactly what they are. They all want to be with the Rush Limbaugh. Oh.
What are you doing?
I just cut myself. Oh. Okay, is that what you want? Because
no, I don't want that.
Well, unless I can get an answer to my question. Oh. Unless I get an answer.
Are you cutting yourself?
Yes.
Well, I gave you my answer.
That's not an answer at all. That's not an answer at all. All that is walking up to Nancy Pelosi, turning around, and I won't tell you exactly what you do with your pants, but they're not around your waist anymore. And then you do something else, and I can't say it because I know we're on the air, but it has to do with you reaching, let's say you're tying your shoe. And it,
hold on for a minute. Larry Grover with us. The question, as a conservative, what side of the issue should he be on? Should he be in favor of the First Amendment, let Westboro Baptist Church protest? Should he be in favor of protecting military funerals? He is so confused and so distraught, he has cut himself with razor blades as we speak. 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You don't even care.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. On the line with us from Culver City, California, is Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County. And we're going to get to some phone calls, Larry, to talk with some people about this, the so-called dichotomy between free speech and the respect of the military. which you are saying is quite, you know, I'm a conservative, and I don't have anywhere near the angst that you're having.
I don't know of any other way to cope with this problem, because I have not gotten one decent answer, not even from you, Phil, on how to deal with the question of being a conservative and being an individual who will respect free speech as well as the rights of the military. Hold on a minute. This is the only way that I have, because you have to understand...
You're cutting yourself with a razor blade like a high schooler.
I think you need to understand, and your audience needs to understand, that it provides a level of relief. Hold on. Just hold for a second. God. Yeah. Yeah, look at that.
Boy, I'll tell you something, man. This is nuts, Larry.
No, sir, it is not. And, you know, I really resent you using that word.
That it is absolutely nuts on a radio show to do something like that.
The question is not whether Larry Grover cuts himself with razor blades. The question is, as a conservative, where do you stand? Do you support this Westboro Baptist Church and their right to protest, free speech, or do you support our military and the dignity of our young... Yeah. God, that hurt.
Who is doing that?
I am.
Stop doing it on the air, please.
Mr.
Stop doing it while we're on the air, please.
The only amount of relief that I'm getting is from this.
I'm going to get some phone calls up on the line here. I want you to stop doing that, please. 877-876-7445 in Kansas City, Kansas. Hold on for a minute there, Dwayne. Kansas City, Kansas is Dwayne. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
I don't understand why you can't understand why you're not getting an answer from Mr. Henry. He's answered your question direct, sir.
He said to me that he supports this bipartisan bill, which is not a conservative stand. It's some lukewarm bipartisan Olympia. I wouldn't go near it with. That's not a stand. That's a lukewarm bipartisan.
He already answered your question five times. Why don't you grow up and quit acting like a child?
Well, what is your answer? You know, are you a conservative? Are you a conservative, sir?
I'm very conservative, and the way you're acting...
What is your answer?
I'm real concerned about you, personally. You know,
of course.
If you're going to sit there and cut your arms and your chest, you might as well just don't stop and just go on up to your throat and end it, because you're real confused. You need to go ahead and cut your throat.
Wait a minute.
And be done with it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something.
This man is concerned, and I got to tell you something, Larry. When you're sitting there cutting yourself on the air like that, your mental health is in question.
I'm going to tell both of you guys something. I'm the only one that's really struggling with this question. That's why I'm cutting myself. Both you and this gentleman from Kansas City are willing to compromise and say, well, okay, I'll go along with Olympia Snow. I'd rather sip from a toilet at Dodger Stadium.
Then compromise with Olympia Snow.
That's not a conservative stand. That's not a conservative... Hold on.
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Yes, it
I
is.
I told
You're
you
real confused.
No, sir.
You're
well,
very,
how is that a conservative
confused.
Stand? How is that a conservative stand? Please tell me. How is that respect for the First Amendment when you push these protesters back 500 feet and
I thought you wanted to respect the military.
And that's the other thing. How is it respect for the military when you will even allow them anywhere near there?
Oh. You know,
Larry.
I sit and wonder what's wrong with our country. Now I know what's wrong with our country. It's nuts like you from California. That are about conservative than a man on the moon.
You're not conservative either. You haven't answered the question.
You get on the radio and you want to make a fool of yourself. You're a grown man. And you want to sit there and get your razor blade out and make this public to the world? Come on,
I'm acting out, man. You can't answer my question. You are
mentally psycho, dude.
Exactly.
You are
beginning to worry people.
No, I'm not mentally. That's what they say to people who ask questions they shouldn't.
Man, I wouldn't want you to run for nothing and be ahead of any organization that does good for our country. That's scary. That's very scary in itself to know there are people out there like you that are that are heading up these organizations of you so-called being conservative with
well,
military.
Well, you know, you can say that I'm a so-called conservative, but you haven't even defined why you're a conservative. And I talked to Chick Burr last night. You can call me names, but that doesn't define whether you're conservative or not. And I talked to Chick Burr last night, and he said I was one of the most...
And Mr. Henry already told you his stand on it, and you ain't got enough sense to listen.
You haven't told me your stand on it.
You must have lost too much blood or something, because your brain ain't thinking properly, dude.
Larry, that's not a bad question. How much blood have you lost?
I'll tell you something, but I don't feel good, but it isn't because I've lost blood. It's because I got to talk to guys like you and Dwayne. You don't have the sense God gave a billy goat. You know that?
I don't have the sense. You're sitting there cutting yourself with a razor blade?
It's a very ask any adolescent, any teenager in America. They understand when no one understands them and no one can answer their questions. What do you think they're going to do?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to San Antonio tonight. And on the line, we have Melinda. Melinda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm very concerned about the gentleman that's cutting himself. Obviously, there's a serious problem there. Whether you're liberal, it shouldn't matter. Funerals should be private. A father has possibly lost a daughter or a son.
Yes.
A husband or a wife. I mean, seriously, this is private. If you don't agree
Are you a conservative?
It would be no different than if a politician died. We don't go to their funerals and protest at their funerals because we don't believe politics are the way they thought.
You have to believe in free speech if you're a conservative. I don't know where the lady is or not. Are you a conservative, ma'am, or a liberal?
I don't consider myself a conservative or a liberal. I consider myself a human being, and this is a funeral. This is a private moment for a family. They are grieving, and you should let them grieve in peace.
Ma'am. Conservatives believe in free speech and the dignity of the military. And in this instance, both of those things are, I don't know what you call it, mutually exclusive, Phil, or how do you...
I don't know. They're in conflict.
They're in conflict. That is driving me nuts as a conservative.
A decent human being would not invade their privacy.
Are you still cutting yourself with that blade?
You know, boy, I tell you, it's the only thing that gives me relief. Now, ma'am, you said that the dead.
To be perfectly honest, I don't believe you're cutting yourself. You're just acting.
Yeah, I don't either. Are you really cutting yourself?
All right, you don't have to believe me. It doesn't make any difference if you believe me or not. What the most important thing is, can you answer my question? As a conservative, what side of this fence should I be on? Do I support free speech? Do I support the military? You say that there should be no protest, but that goes against. God, that hurts.
As a decent human being, we should respect their privacy and not invade their privacy. Decent human beings would not do that.
Well, okay, so no free speech. Okay, thanks a lot. Boy,
thank you.
Can't wait for you to be president. No free speech? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. See, ma'am, you're the reason why I'm cutting myself. You.
I think you're making it all up. I don't believe you. You're a sick man.
Why? Why would you say I'm making it up?
Because, first of all, carry on. No, sir. I don't think you're even doing it.
Have you seen a child that acts out and cuts herself? That's what they
are. Are you a child?
No, I'm an adult.
Okay,
I'm an adult.
Act like one. Act like an adult.
Then quit screwing around.
Right. You're really doing that.
Yes,
act
I
like
am,
an
man.
Adult,
I've got
sir.
A double-edged... All right, I'm going to cut myself for real now.
Oh, you're going to cut yourself for real, so then you admit you haven't been doing it for real.
That hurts.
Were you cutting yourself or not?
Yes, I was, but I wanted to do it right on the phone for her.
Just be a decent human.
Can I ask you something?
You know, Larry, you are acting and sounding like a jackass for the more time elapses. The question about whether conservatives, free speech, you know, this bill that was crafted by Senator Snowe and was signed off on by other Republicans as well as Democrats, you're right, serve, would enable these people at Westboro to protest 300 feet off of the funeral, 500 feet off of the route of the limousines and the cars that are in the funeral, okay? So it allows them to be there. But they are far enough away so that their chanting and their disgusting slogans and their disgusting, insulting signs don't have to be right in the faces of the family.
And that's not free speech. That's not free speech. Why won't someone listen to me? And that's why I'm cutting myself, okay? Thanks a lot, Phil, for no answer.
Oh, my God. That man needs help.
That's it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
I'm in pain, and you go, oh, my God, oh, great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Melinda. I really do. 877-876-PHIL. You know, I gave you the answer. I think that's a great compromise. We live in a country where we have so much freedom that it often runs, one freedom runs in conflict with another. We've had more Supreme Court rulings about where does my right to swing my fist end and your nose begin, you know?
What is that?
That's a common... What do you mean, what is that? That is a very, very common argument that, or common comparison we make when we talk about the freedom of movement, the freedom of speech. I have a right to swing my fist, but it ends where your nose begins.
I have a right to swing my fist.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I do not.
That doesn't make any sense to you.
The only thing that makes sense to me, I'll tell you what makes sense to me, because of the answers you've been giving me, the non-answers, this does. Yeah! Yeah!
You are lying, aren't you?
You call me a liar? Oh, man.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Our number is 877-876-7445. As a conservative, where do you stand on the Westboro Baptist Church military funeral issue? Do you stand with the First Amendment people that gives Westboro Baptist the right to stand there with their ugly slogans? Do you stand with people that want to protect our military and their memorial services? As a conservative, it's a tough question. 877-876-7445, World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. During the break, you know, we were discussing, and welcome back here on our show, and we have our news and commentary and information hour coming up with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. During the break, we're discussing, you know, the philosophical issues that come up for any political party, for any ideology. And we were saying, for instance, that Barack Obama, in signing off on the Patriot Act, has placed into play the notion, the idea, whatever you want to call it, that the Democrats, liberals, progressives are not all united on some of these national security issues. Now, is it because Obama has had his mind changed? Is it because Obama, from the very start during the campaign, was very much strong on national security but muted it for his campaign address or his campaign position? I don't know. But these are questions that are challenges. And so to that end, I appreciate what you're doing, Larry.
Thank you.
But to sit there and cut yourself with a razor blade... Because, like a child, you haven't gotten the answer that you want.
No. You're
no. That's exactly what's going on. Pound my hand up and pound my fist on the table. You know,
pound your hand up and down. Well, that is that. To me, that's vulgar.
And I meant pound my fist on the table.
So you had a fist that you were going up and down with. And to me, there's a big difference. And it goes to this, Phil.
No, I didn't do that.
It goes to this. It goes to the issue of, as I said, are you philosophically conservative? Are you consistent? Do you want to do a radio show about the conservative cause and the issues that are important to us? Or do you want to get the young male listener by, you know, putting your hand in a fist and going, ooh, like that.
And you cutting yourself, what is that?
That has nothing to do with...
No, no, that has everything to do with it. Everything to do with it. During the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be interested to know, Mr. Grover was sitting here going, okay, Phil, here is my impression of the female on the Nostromo, the last female to get eaten by the alien. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, the Veronica Cartwright character.
Okay, and then you went into that whole thing?
I didn't go into a whole thing.
You're going, hoo, like that?
Wow.
Okay, you know what? I'm through. I'll take another phone call. 877-876-PHIL. It is a tragedy that the issue is not taken more seriously. I'll tell you that much. Here is David in Bakersfield. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, David.
I'm the only one taking it seriously.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Grover should understand that this isn't conservative radio for conservatives by conservatives. It's radio for patriots by patriots. And that my stand is that these people should be allowed to protest, but they should be met by the police. And as soon as they start lashing out with their hate speech at the eulogy, they should be arrested immediately and removed for harassment. Because
That's not respecting free speech. That's not respecting free speech.
They're not respecting the military, so why should they in turn deserve any respect? They're acting like savages, saying that God killed the soldier because this country supports homosexuality. Death is a very personal matter. And
there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't have... What are you talking about? Unless you're using four-letter words and things like that, you have the right to say what you want. And that's our country.
It's hate speech and harassment. They're harassing the families that are alive. The soldier cannot hear them protesting their funeral. The soldier is dead and being buried, and the family
is the one that has to hear them. Well, they're not protesting for the soldier. They want America to hear them. They want America to hear them. They don't care about the family, and they don't care about the soldiers. What they care about is the family hearing them.
Mr. Grover, let me ask you this. As a conservative, you say you're conservative. Why would you support their free speech when they hate this country?
That's freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech. Even people that hate the country have freedom of speech.
And you would allow that? Why would you want?
Yes, of course. If I don't allow it, then we begin to chip away at our freedoms. If I don't allow that, then what am I not going to allow next? And after that, and after that, and after that, until finally I walk up to you, David, and I say,
they're harassing the families. They're harassing the families that are alive.
No, they're not. No.
They have to live with the loss of the soldier who gave his life for America.
Right. Yes, they are, and no, they're not.
What does that mean, yes, they are, and
yes,
no, they're not?
Yes, they are, and no, they're not.
On the issue.
Barack Obama and John McCain in the 2008 campaign.
Yes, they are, and no, they're not, because I'm split on the issue, and you're not helping me at all with it. I'm split on the issue.
Well, and if you want to accept my type of solution, then you can keep cutting. And I suggest that they give you in a 72-hour hold.
So David's solution basically is they don't have the right to that kind of speech, okay?
Then he's not a conservative.
Well, he may not be a conservative, but like you said, this is radio for patriots by patriots. David, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And when you're describing it as hate speech, it's a very, very interesting way of describing that. What do you think of that, Larry, it being hate speech?
I don't know. It sounds pretty far out to me. It doesn't sound like he thought it out very well. I think hate speech has more to do with racial issues.
877-876-7445. Let's go to Robert in Rapid City. Robert in Rapid City, South Dakota. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that the whole thing is a bunch of garbage, that people are allowed to disrespect the families, to disrespect America like that. I mean, you look at Kobe Bryant. They just got fined $100,000. Well, for what? They violated his freedom of speech? Could he use that? No.
Well, he called the referee an F word, but see, that was in his job. That was in his workplace, okay?
Same thing.
In the workplace.
Same thing.
Really.
If we're going to allow him to do that, then...
They didn't. They fined him. They fined him. They didn't allow him to do it.
Yeah, but I'm
they
saying...
They fined him? How much?
You're going to allow that from Arkansas or wherever he's come to do that, Kansas, then you need to allow everybody for anything. That's the liberal way right there. That's garbage.
Will you knock
that's
it off?
That's anti-American. And this guy you got on here is a nut.
Phil Hendry.